N-Y-Y-S-T.
Hold up, why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know where their problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bets. Cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit here. Wait up.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back. This is episode 533 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And apparently the New York Yankees hate their dads and hate any dads that were watching this game today, or just hate everybody that roots for them in general, because they just dropped the series finale to the Cincinnati Reds 4-1, an incredibly frustrating series for a team that had been playing really, really good baseball, especially without Aaron Judge. And they took 2 out of 3 from a pretty hot and scrappy Chicago White Sox team. And you thought you were going to roll to another easy series win here after Cam Schuettler just dominated the Reds on Friday night with a 13 strikeout performance. Yankees won that game 5-0, and then, you know, the wheels just completely fell off for them on Saturday. They did not play clean baseball. Will Warren paid for it. They lose that game in blowout fashion. And then you say to yourself, okay, you know, you got a really, really good pitcher on the mound here for the Reds today, but we're going to counter that with Gerrit Cole. And then the Yankees say, oh, you know, hold on a second. We're just going to insert Elmer Rodriguez here, and we're going to push everybody back a day. And then you say to yourself, okay, well, you know, I don't really like that. But the Yankees say everything is fine. But you still say you want Gerrit Cole on the mound here to try to go and get a series win, because winning series is important in this league. And the more series you win, the higher likelihood of you winning your division is going to happen here. And they inserted Elmer, and Elmer was really, really good for the first 3 innings of this game. And then he ran into a little bit of trouble there in the 4th inning. Leadoff walks will kill you, and they killed Elmer Rodriguez here. Then he got himself into a hitter's count, 1 batter away from getting out of a jam. Serves up a home run to Tyler Stevenson, a big 3-run home run. And you could have turned the game off from there, because the Yankees really just could not do anything with all the free bases they were able to acquire on the base paths today, because Stevenson had the big home run, the big 3-run home run, but he couldn't throw out anybody to save his life. I stopped counting after 6 stolen bases. The Yankees couldn't do anything with them, and they had their big chance there in the 6th inning when Aaron Boone emptied his bench. Goldschmidt came up with 2 on and 2 out, flew out on the first pitch. And that was really the game right there, because the Yankees went 0-24 in the final 2 games of this series. And it showed, because they scored all 3 runs. And 2 of those 3 runs came on solo home runs, 1 from Paul Goldschmidt, 1 from Ben Rice. And it was just an incredibly frustrating series, because if you look around the American League, and that's going to be the tone or the theme of this show here as we move forward throughout the rest of the season, and you guys should know that by now, is what does this mean for October? Well, you know, the Rays were 3 back. Now they're 1 back. And the Rays have come back down to earth. Do I like the Rays being a game back? No, I don't. But do I believe in the Rays being a true threat to the Yankees? Well, that's up to the Yankees whether or not the Rays are going to be a true threat to them. Because if the Yankees are going to go out there and drop series to teams that they're clearly better than, then yeah, the Rays can be a threat to them. But the Yankees go out there and handle their business, then the Rays are not a threat to them. And then if you look around the rest of the American League and teams not in the American League East, the Yankees are 6-7 games clear of everybody else. So, no, I'm not really worried about what that means for October. I just don't want the Yankees to be in the wild card series, because I think that was a big problem for the Yankees last year, is having to play in that wild card series. And ultimately, even without Aaron Judge and without Trent Grisham and without Giancarlo Stanton and without Max Fried, and the time that Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon has missed, I don't think the Rays are really going to be there at the end of the year if the Yankees play up to their capabilities. And the Yankees didn't do that in this series against Cincinnati. They didn't play up to their capabilities here. So we enter, Monday here, as you're going to be listening on Monday morning, with the Yankees a game up on the Tampa Bay Rays, which, again, you know, when you have all the injuries that the Yankees have had and have had time missed by key contributors and big time key contributors, when you're sitting here on June 22nd, still a game up in the American League and still 6-7 games clear, because I didn't check the final scores of the rest of the teams like the Cleveland Guardians and whoever's leading in the West right now. I believe it's Seattle. It's not a bad place to be in, but you don't want to lose series to teams like the Cincinnati Reds when they don't even have their best player on the field. And when you watch Cam Schlittler completely smack them in the face on Friday night, you just had to find a way to split this. And this was a game here, even with Hunter Brown, even with Chase Burns. I don't know why I said Hunter Brown there. I don't know what I was getting twisted with. Even with Chase Burns on there and with how good he wasn't that good today. The Yankees just could not come up with that big hit to put them over the top there, especially in the sixth inning when Boone emptied out the bench. It is a little frustrating, and it gets aggravating watching this team. But hey, you know what? Like I said on social media here, frustrating series. You don't want to lose 2 out of 3 to Cincinnati Reds. Take it and throw it away. Just take it and throw it away. It's kind of what you have to do here. And just kind of look at some of the bigger picture stuff here. Austin Wells came back today, 0-for-2, strikeout, pop up, and he got pinch hit for with Paul Goldschmidt. You know, the Yankees were hoping that the cervical headaches were the reason why he hadn't been playing really well, and he didn't play really well today. And I guess we can start there with something that I read from Randy Miller earlier in the day, is that the Yankees are looking for a right-handed catcher because they know they need to improve the catching situation that they have right now. And it kind of leads me to something that is a little bit interesting. Well, you hear from Bob Nightingale that the Yankees are hot for Ryan Jeffers, who still has not come back from the hamate situation. And if you... That was from Bob Nightingale. And you listen to read what Randy Miller had to say, and it's that the Yankees aren't really looking for somebody to replace Austin Wells as a starter, but more of a better platoon situation with Austin Wells, because the Yankees love the way Austin Wells catches this staff. The staff loves throwing to him. He's really, really good back behind the plate. The Yankees just need him to be at or near league average hitting, and he's got a 163 average and a 527 OPS, which I don't need to explain to anybody is not anywhere near league average. It's just not. It's unplayable, actually. And if you had guys in this lineup that were a little bit more consistent here, or if you had Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton in this lineup, maybe you could overlook that, but you really can't right now. So the knock on guys like Hunter Goodman and Ryan Jeffers is that they're not good defensively. And, you know, this has been something Brian Cashman's kind of been on record as saying here, is that he doesn't like trading for catchers midseason because how it might upset the apple cart in terms of getting them acclimated to the pitching staff and getting the pitching staff acclimated to them, it is a concern. All right, I'm not going to say that it's one that would keep me from acquiring Goodman or Jeffers, but it's something that you have to take into account. And I don't think Brian Cashman's wrong in saying that. So if you go back and you listen to or read the Randy Miller report, is that the Yankees aren't really looking for a replacement, but more of a better right-handed option to go along with Austin Wells. And Jeffers and Goodman, apparently, from what we were, I read and from these scouts and their book on them, is they're not great defensively, okay? They're great offensively. And these are guys that you can slot in to be, you know, middle of the order type guys with how they hit, which the Yankees need right now. But are the Yankees really looking for that, a replacement for Austin Wells, more so than they are looking for a better right-handed option than Ali Sanchez here? So I wanted to bang my head against the wall when I read this name, Kyle Higashioka. Are the Yankees really looking to bring back Kyle Higashioka here and have him in a platoon with Austin Wells? And I said to myself, it does make a lot of sense here. I know fans are not going to like it. And I know fans are going to be like, been there, done that. Hell, I was. I had seen enough of Kyle Higashioka here. But you know Kyle Higashioka is going to be a guy that's going to hit you around 220, 230. He's going to run into his fair share of home runs. And the Yankees have always liked how he receives pitchers. Is that more along the lines of a move that the Yankees are going to go out there and make it the trade deadline, then go out there and make a big splash? Because if you look at a guy like Hunter Goodman, it's going to cost you, excuse me, three players that you probably don't want to part with. And I'm not saying that you don't part with them. I'm just saying it's probably going to cost you three players that you don't want to part with, because one of the scouts that Randy Miller interviewed said that the asking price from the Yankees would probably be Elmer Rodriguez, Ryan Weathers, and Spencer Jones. Seems like a lot. Now, do you do it? It's a lot of controllable starting pitching there. I'll take or leave Spencer Jones at this point. It doesn't really bother me. A lot of controllable starting pitching right there. And the guy that in Ryan Weathers that you're hopeful turns into a big piece for your bullpen. And a guy the Yankees just traded for, the Yankees ready to, you know, kind of cut bait on a Ryan Weathers at this point. And Elmer Rodriguez is another guy, you know, I saw on social media today. You know, was he great today? No. Was he good? I thought he was okay. If you look at where Elmer Rodriguez was coming into the season, he's eighth on the depth chart. You know, you figure once you got back Carlos Rodon, once you got back Gerrit Cole, and you already slotted guys like Will Warren and Ryan Weathers and Luis Gil in front of him, he was eighth. And he's come up here, and he's been okay. I mean, he's got a 4.76 ERA. He's not been as sharp as I kind of, with the strike throwing, as I would have hoped for him. But I don't think he's been that bad. He's still a work in progress. He's still developing as a major league pitcher. I think he's shown stuff. But then you read on social media, people are like, oh, he's got no trade value. He's unwatchable. I was like, I just don't know. I just think that at this point on social media here, people just say anything with no truth behind it. They're just going to say the most grandiose and honestly stupid things imaginable, and that there's enough people out there that believe or are just sheepish enough where they're just going to go along with anything and that they'll believe it. Would I put Elmer Rodriguez in a trade packets? Absolutely. I don't think he's untouchable by any stretch of the imagination. But I also don't think that he's unplayable or unwatchable or that he has no trade value. Or as somebody put, if the Yankees offered to pay you to pick to trade for him, that a team wouldn't. I just think that's one of the stupidest things I've heard on social media all year. He's clearly got stuff that a team that doesn't have the pressure on it to win a World Series can sit there and work with. The Yankees aren't in that boat right now, but the Yankees wanted to give everybody an extra day off here, and that's fine. I don't think they're in a position to kind of punt games, which I think they maybe went into this one thinking with Chase Burns on the mound and not throwing Gerrit Cole opposite, that maybe was a game that they looked at and said, hey, we win, we lose. I don't think that's the right attitude to have on June 21st when you're you know, not firmly in first place at this point. But that's the way they went about it. They wanted to play the long game with guys like Schlittler, who's already thrown 95 innings this year, and Cole and Rodon are coming back from injuries. And even Weathers, who has already more than doubled what he threw last year, and Will Warren, who I think he's the least of their concerns in terms of innings thrown, but that's the route they wanted to go, and fine, whatever. It's not why they lost today. So are the Yankees looking to give up a lot of talent for a guy like Goodman? It's possible. I don't see it happening. Jeffers is going to cost you somebody that you probably don't want to part with, and he's a rental. And he's already he's injured. He's not coming back for another couple of weeks. You know, that's an interesting thing there, too. It's like, well, don't you want to see what he looks like post him breaking the hamate bone before going out there and trading anything for him? Or do you go for a guy that was brought up in the Randy Miller article like Connor Wong? You know the Red Sox are not opposed to trading with the Yankees. You go bring in a Connor Wong to be a right-handed complement to Austin Wells. It depends on how big of a splash the Yankees want to make, how much they believe in Austin Wells, and what they feel their other bigger needs are at this trade deadline. Bringing in a right-handed catcher is a need for the Yankees. Just how far up the ladder in terms of talent do they want to go for bringing in a right-handed catcher? And the only guy that I would be opposed to trading in that hypothetical, you know, what this package would look like, is Ryan Weathers. Because I think he's got really good stuff here. And I think the Yankees need bullpen help. And everybody needs bullpen help. That's why I think you're more likely going to see guys like LeGrande and Weathers be the answer for their bullpen woes than going out there and making multiple trades like they did last year. Because if you look at what the Yankees did at the trade deadline last year to bring in multiple bullpen pieces, Jake Bird, okay, multiple times he's been optioned. He's not even on the big league club right now. Got sent down again after Saturday's game. And that was because they wanted to bring up Elmer. That's what they'll tell you. But also, he's not been good. You look at the stuff he has, he should be way better than what he's been here. And then you look at David Bednar, the guy they brought in to be closer. I know a lot of fans don't like David Bednar. I do. I think he's fine. I think he's a very workable closer. Would I love to see the Yankees bring in a closer and make him the eighth inning guy? Yeah, I would. But who's out there that's better? Who's out there that's better than David Bednar? I'm not saying you don't make trades to bring in back-end of the bullpen type guys. I'm just saying, who would be available that you would slot ahead of David Bednar? Now, you want to dump your farm system on somebody. I say you go and do that. You call the San Diego Padres and say, hey, what's this going to take to get Mason Miller over here? I don't know if they're willing to do that. They're probably not. I mean, if you look at the standings right now where the Padres are, they're in second place. They're 39-36, but they're eight behind in the loss column of the Dodgers. So they're probably, you know, the Dodgers are probably going to play well enough, even if they get bored over through 162, to keep that divisional lead. So I don't think that's a situation, but they're sitting in the third wild card right now. They're a game up on the Cubs and the Diamondbacks, two up on Miami and Washington. So they're probably thinking about making a run. That's probably not something that's going to happen. But if you look around and say, hey, where do I cash my chips in? There's plenty of guys that you could trot out here or go make trades for and put in the seventh and eighth inning. Because I like Fernando Cruz, but I like Fernando Cruz as the fire extinguisher. There's a jam. Bring in Fernando Cruz. Get him to get a couple strikeouts with the splitter. We'll start fresh in the seventh. We'll start fresh in the eighth. We'll bring in Bednar in the ninth. I think that is something the Yankees could do. And I think if you have Weathers and LeGrande as those options, it lessens the desperateness, if that's even a word, of the Yankees to go out there and make trades for bullpen pieces at the deadline, whereas then you can go out there and plug holes offensively, which third base, catcher, even shortstop at this point, I would say, if there's a shortstop. I keep hearing C.J. Abrams, but like, yeah, that's great. You could want C.J. Abrams all you want, but we're looking at the, as I just mentioned, the Nationals are two games back of a third wild card spot. Do they want to trade C.J. Abrams, or do they want to go for a playoff spot this year? Because they did us no favors this weekend, losing 2-3 to the Tampa Bay Rays. But if you look at them offensively, the Yankees have scored 389, which is tops in the American League. And then you look at the Nationals, they scored 416. That's second in all of baseball to the Dodgers, who have scored 404. Now, the problem with the Nationals is that they've also allowed 404 runs, which is only second, which is now third. Excuse me. Well, they were first in runs scored and first in runs allowed at one point. But I'm sorry. No, I looked at that wrong. They are the only one of two teams that have scored 400 runs in Major League Baseball, the Dodgers being the only second team. So they're even ahead of the Dodgers in terms of runs scored, 416 to 404. But the 404 runs they have allowed is tied for second most in baseball with the Twins, who have allowed 404, and then the Rockies have allowed 438. But if you look at a team like, and that's their problem, they might be looking for pitching as well, because with that offense, their run differential is only 12. They score a lot of runs and they allow a lot of runs. It's an interesting team out there in Washington. So fans can say, oh, we could get C.J. Abrams. Yeah, really? Could you? When you have statistically the best offense in baseball, would they clean up their pitching? They could be a threat, because they are only two games out of a wild card spot right now. Where could the Yankees better use their prospects? Like we said, third base, catcher, shortstop. You know, you're going to get Judge and Grisham back, so I don't think you're looking to improve the outfield, you know. So I would try to bring in some talent on the left side of the infield and behind home plate to improve that offensively. And, yeah, I would definitely bring in an arm here as well for the bullpen. And I would rely on what LeGrande and Weathers are going to give me in the bullpen. And I think the bullpen looks a lot better, because, again, we go back and we look at those trade deadline acquisitions from last year. Camilo Duvall has been an unmitigated disaster. There's just no other way to put it. His ERA with the Yankees since the trade last year is over 5. And this is somebody that I was hyped to get. I was on my last night on vacation last year at the deadline, approaching that 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock deadline, whatever it was, at dinner for our last dinner on vacation, fist pumping, giving out a big yeah, as we got Camilo Duvall at the wire last year, because I know the stuff that he has. But he's been a disaster here. And you look at him ripping out those sinkers and 101 mile an hour cutters and wonder how it ever happens. It's because the guy's a loser. And I hate to say that, but when you can't get outs, important outs, and you look at the game they lost against Chicago, one pitch, bang, Benintendi grand slam, put that game to bed. I feel like, especially this year, nothing positive has ever happened any time that Camilo Duvall stepped on a mound here. And today, you're trying to keep the game in bloop and blast territory, and he can't do it. He just can't do it. So I don't know if somebody wants to trade him for a 18-year-old with a 7 ERA and think that you could turn him into something in 4 or 5 years, or if you just want to flat out DFA him. But there is absolutely zero reason to ever pitch Camille Duvall in a game unless you are down or up five runs. And up five would really scare the hell out of me still at that point. Matt Blake has had a full year, basically, and an entire offseason to fix Camille Duvall's problems, and he hasn't been able to do it. There is just no reason anymore to have any faith that Camille Duvall can go out there and get you any meaningful outs that you need him to get. So if you see him in a close and late situation, that's on Aaron Boone. That's Aaron Boone's negligence. And I know that chart that floated around the other day that said the Yankees have the highest manager win probability at it this year. And the Aaron Boone defenders are like, see, his decision-making has impacted the Yankees more positively than any other manager in Major League Baseball this year. And they're like, see, we might have a ring if he knew how to manage the bullpen. Yeah, I'm going to go back there. Because until the Yankees win a World Series and Aaron Boone is the manager, Tim Hill being in the bullpen for Nestor Cortez in the 10th inning of game one should have gotten that man arrested and sentenced to 10 years in a prison camp. Yeah, I'm going to go back there. So I don't care what that chart says. Do it for me in October, Aaron. Then we can talk about what that chart says. So it's almost like when you look at it in those terms, right, that he, being Brian Cashman, has had a good or a bad track record of trading for bullpen pieces. You almost don't want him to. And just hope that LeGrand, Hay, and Weathers are the guys that fill the roles that you need to be filled in the bullpen late in the season here. Okay. The other big thing that was taken over Yankee Twitter here in the past couple of days is once again the rumors of the Yankees trading for Tarik Skubal. And Rosenthal said that the two most aggressive teams for Skubal are going to be the Yankees and the Dodgers. And John Heyman said that the Tigers have been aggressively scouting George Lombard and Carlos LeGrande, or who are the two biggest or two top prospects in the Yankees organization, which people ran with, but then completely missed a sentence after that, where Yankee people have told him that it's highly unlikely that the Yankees move either of them for a rental. Okay, you missed that part. Would I love the Yankees to go out there and get Tarik Skubal and say, go and beat this rotation in October of Tarik Skubal, Cam Schiller, Gerrit Cole, and Max Fried? Yeah, I'd love it, okay? I'm a Yankee fan. It's a rental. It doesn't matter. The Yankees are going on 17 years without winning a championship. So do whatever you got to do at this point. But do I see the Yankees doing that? And do the Yankees need to go out there and trade for Tarik Skubal? No. These are two different conversations that fans can't have at the same time. As a Yankee fan, you can absolutely go out there and dream of that rotation and going into October and want the Yankees to do that. But then to sit there and say the Yankees need to do that, that is not correct. That is false in every way imaginable. The Yankees don't need more starting pitching. The Yankees have plenty of starting pitching. The Yankees have more than enough starting pitching to get them through the American League and match up with anybody, whether they have Tarik Skubal or not, in the World Series. When your playoff rotation is going to start with the AL Cy Young favorite in Cam Schlittler and a guy that has a Cy Young in Gerrit Cole and Max Fried as well, and if you need a fourth starter, you have a guy like Carlos Rodon back there, that matches up with anybody. So is it a need for the Yankees to go out there and get Tarik Skubal? No. No, it's not. But do you want the Yankees to go out there and Tarik Skubal, go out there and get Tarik Skubal and be aggressive and show some balls here, for lack of a better term, in a season that everything is wide open for them to go out there and win a championship? Yeah, you'd like to see it. But I also don't see the Yankees using their two top prospects to do it. I also don't think the Yankees need to go out there and spend their two top prospects in an area where it's not a necessity for them to go out there and do it. So that's why, ultimately, I don't see it happening. Would I love to see it happen? Yes, of course. Dude, as much as I'm going to sit here and tell you the Yankees don't need to do this, I would still be freaking out if the Yankees added Tarik Skubal to a rotation of Max Fried, Cam Schlittler, and Gerrit Cole. Because if you can't win a World Series with that, then we just need to blow this whole thing up. Because when Will Warren goes out there and has a really rough outing, then people come back to me and say, see, they need to do this. They need to do this. Well, dude, you're dumb, number one, for thinking Will Warren is going to be anywhere near a mound in a starting situation in October. Because if everybody's healthy, you can line up these three guys any which way you want. And Max Fried is probably going to be number two to break up the righties. So it's going to be Schlittler, Fried, and Cole, unless you just want, based on the emeritus status of Gerrit Cole and Cam being the probably the Cy Young Award winner right now, have them 1-2, and it doesn't matter. Bro, you can, it doesn't matter. It's Fried, Cole, and Schlittler any way you want to break it up. And then Carlos Rodon is your four, even though I don't love Carlos Rodon, and you know that, but come on. In a seven-game series, who's matching Carlos Rodon in the four? So it's not a need for the Yankees to go out there and do it. And people are saying, oh, well, you just got to stop this team. You got to stop this team. Come on. You got to do what's smart for your team and make the best moves for your team. I'm not worried about what anybody else does. Because you have Cole, Schlittler, and Fried, and you can negate Tarik Skubal with any one of those guys. Again, not a need. So if you want to go out there and do it, go and do it, and I'll be fucking ecstatic if the Yankees do it. Not a need, though. You can't have that. You have to have be fair about the conversation and say, would I like to see this happen? Yeah, but do the Yankees need to do this? No, they don't. So, again, Lombard and LeGrandje, and especially a guy like LeGrandje, who I would think the Yankees are going to put in a prime position to help them in September and October, I don't think they really want to give up on that. And I think they also have high hopes on George Lombard. Now, would they trade him in the right packages? Yeah, then to them, the right package is not renting Tarik Skubal. And Tim, shout out Tim on Twitter, okay, who said, yeah, you're right, but I would love to get Paul Skenes. And the difference between Paul Skenes and Tarik Skubal is you'd have multiple years of control over Paul Skenes. That's why if Paul Skenes was truly on the trade block and you were like Lombard, LeGrandje, yada, 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 and I'm like, yes, do it, because you're not renting Paul Skenes. And I think the Yankees would be way more open to doing that based on what you heard last year of guys like Lombard and Schlittler being in a trade package when they called up the Pirates last trade deadline. And obviously, at that point, we didn't know what Schlittler was going to be, but he was already a guy that was up here and contributing. And the Yankees were willing to part with that for multiple years of control of Paul Skenes. Are they willing to part with that for 2 months in a playoff run of Tarik Skubal when you don't need starting pitching? Okay, that is where you have to understand where the conversation is going. Are the Yankees willing to do that for something that's not an area of need when you know for a fact it's rental? It's a strict rental. When Paul Skenes is not truly on the trade block, where the conversation, even if you had Tarik Skubal for 2027, It changes the conversation where you have two playoff runs with them. If the Yankees didn't have the starting pitching depth that they have, if they didn't have the three guys that they're going to be leading off a playoff rotation, even if they had two of them, right? That changes the conversation as well. But you have three aces to start a playoff series. You don't need a fourth. Yeah, you'd love to see it. It would show you a true going for it mentality that we have never seen out of the Yankees and since George has passed away. But not a need. And I think people have to understand that's where I'm coming from. And that's where a lot of people are coming from, where it's not a need for the Yankees. And I just want to go back to this point about Will Warren here. When Will Warren, you know, has a rough outing, people are like, see, look at Will. Look, I don't understand what it is about Will Warren. I don't understand what it is about Omar Rodriguez. And I don't understand what it is about Ryan Weathers when they struggle a little bit. These guys are not aces. They're not meant to be ones and twos here, okay? Everybody coming through your farm system is not an ace. It's not. They're not Cam Schlittler, okay? They don't. Not everybody will develop into that. It is okay to have guys that fill roles as a third starter, as a fourth starter, as a fifth starter. The Yankees, fully healthy, Will Warren is a guy with a sub-4 ERA that is your fifth starter, and you guys think that's a problem. And yes, I've gotten into many bloody battles with Chris over this, over Will Warren. I never thought Will Warren had the stuff to be an ace. I never thought Will Warren had the stuff to be a number two. I thought Will Warren had the stuff when he maxes out to be a three, but most likely settles into a 4-5 spot. I thought Will Warren always had, and still, and through a year and a half here in 2025 and 2026, has shown you he's got the stuff to be a major league pitcher. And that's okay that he's not an ace. It's okay that he's not a number two. But he's certainly shown you the ability to be a fourth and fifth and a damn good fourth and fifth starter in this league. Because like I just said, when you look at this rotation and how it's built and who's going to match you up when it's your fourth starter versus fourth starter in a playoff series against Carlos Rodon, not many people, if any. That's why when you go through 162 and you're lining up fifth starters here and it's Will Warren against somebody else's fifth starter, you're more than likely facing a guy with a high 4-5 ERA. And Will Warren's ERA is in the mid to threes right now because some of those runs he gave up was unearned. And yeah, he's got to pick up his teammates there. But the Yankees played really sloppy baseball behind them yesterday, and he couldn't get out of that. And that's what happens when you're a fourth and fifth starter, unfortunately, sometimes. But the guy's a major league pitcher. He's a good major league pitcher. He's not great. He's not an ace. He's a very serviceable, good major league pitcher. And I don't understand why fans have a problem with that being the type of guy that rounds out the back end of your rotation. Same thing with Ryan Weathers. The same thing with a guy like Omar Rodriguez. These are guys that might max out with the stuff that they have to beat threes, but more likely going to settle into fours and fives. But fans think that's a problem. Oh, he sucks. Get rid of him. He's got no trade value. You know how many teams would bend over backwards right now to fill out a rotation with guys like Elmer Rodriguez, Ryan Weathers, and Will Warren? But these are guys that won't even crack a playoff roster unless they're in the bullpen, like Ryan Weathers is probably going to be for the Yankees. It's an embarrassment of riches that you're complaining about here. And I know everybody wants to have 5-4-5 aces rounding out a rotation, but it's just not probable and it's not likely. And the Yankees have fucking three of them already. Again, that's why Tarik Skubal is not a need for this baseball team. So it's okay when Will Warren goes out there and gets bombed, because more likely than not, the Yankees win. I think the record with him on the mound this year is 12-3, which is pretty friggin' good. So it's okay if he gets bombed. You want to know why? Do you like losing the game? Obviously not. Nobody likes losing games. But he's your fourth or fifth starter, for Christ's sake. What do you think? You're going to go out there and get a Gerrit Cole, a vintage Gerrit Cole performance every time Will Warren takes the mound? No, those are the ups and downs of a back-end rotation guy, and he's better than pretty much everybody in fucking baseball. And yeah, I'm getting excited right now because I'm tired of every time he gives up a home run or he gets bombed, which is few and far between, especially considering his role on this team, of people, oh, he's terrible, he's terrible. He's not. The Yankees have developed a very reliable fourth or fifth starter. And that's okay. They developed an ace, and they developed a guy to pitch at the back end of the rotation. Okay? Through their farm system, they have developed two-fifths of a starting rotation, and they have filled it in with two guys like Gerrit Cole and Max Fried and Carlos Rodon that they paid a lot of money to. Not a bad way to build a rotation, honestly. And again, once again, why Tarik Skubal is not a need for this team. But what the Yankees need to do, okay, is they need to go to Detroit and really force the Tigers' hand in trading Tarik Skubal, whether that be to them or somebody else, because the White Sox here, you know, they had a chance to get themselves in a really good position here with the injury to Jose Ramirez, but now they've gone out here and won 1-5. They lost 2 out of 3 to the Yankees and then got swept by the Tigers. But the Tigers are still 33-44. They're 7 games behind the Guardians and White Sox at the top of the league, top of the division. And if you look at them for the wild card, they're 5 games behind the A's and Jays, who are tied for that third wild card. So is 5 enough to keep the Tigers from wanting to trade Skubal? I don't know. But, you know, you can go out there and make that decision a little bit easier for them by beating up on a team that you're obviously better than in the Tigers, as the Yankees are going to hit Detroit here for 3 games. Now, note the funny start time tomorrow or later today. It's 6:10. Okay, because there's fireworks after the game. Gerrit Cole against Framber Valdez. Now, remember the last time the Yankee fans saw Framber Valdez, he threw out his catcher. Okay. So, Framber Valdez is pitching to a 4.09 ERA this year, and the Yankees should go out there and win that baseball game. And then it's Casey Mize against Carlos Rodon. That can get a little tricky. Casey Mize is pitching well this year to a 2.58. And then you close, that's a 6:40 start. And then here you go. We're going to see Tarik Skubal this series because he's going to close it out against Ryan Weathers on Wednesday, also 6:40. So, you know, the pitching matchups aren't exactly in the Yankees' favor on Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's imperative to go out there with Gerrit Cole on the mound against Framber Valdez and get a win here on Monday. You know, it's also imperative if you click subscribe to the NYYST podcast on the very podcast platform that you're listening to us on right now, because tentatively scheduled, there's only about 17 episodes of this podcast left. We said right now the number we're looking to hit is 550 when we say goodbye. So if you don't want to miss any of those episodes, you'll click subscribe and it'll just automatically be downloaded for you right then and there. We'd also love for you guys to leave us a 5-star rating and review so we can hear from everybody on the way out here in 2026. And also, please subscribe to NYY Underground on YouTube. The Bronx or Nowhere are scheduled to be back this Saturday after the Yankees play an afternoon game against the Red Sox. And please tell everybody, NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. We love you guys so much. Thank you for your continued support of the show through this year and all 10 years. This has been episode 533. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.